One of the biggest challenges for human capital officers is trying to make sure your agency's staffing needs are being met, not just today, but in years to come. Well, nowhere is that more important than in the intelligence community, where staffing is the key to keeping the nation safe. Federal News Radio's Max Kakis joins us now live to tell us about it.
Hi, Amy. Today's story comes from one of the panels at last week's HCMF 2009, or Human Capital Management Federal Conference that was held over at the Keybridge Marriott Hotel in Roslyn. We had a chance to listen to Dr. Ron Sanders, the Chief Human Capital Officer with the intelligence community, and a very familiar voice to anyone who listens to Federal News Radio. Now, I basically took his audience on a non-classified tour of the decision-making process as the intelligence community does long-term planning and risk assessment when it comes to workforce planning. Now, first he asked us to try to imagine the world in the years between 2011 and 2015.
As you may know, we have a five-year budget in the intelligence community. The top line each year is declassified, but the five-year budget is not. But we do look pretty far ahead. We have to, given the role that technology plays, the influence that the external environment plays in our mission. And I'm going to suggest this morning, as we go through this, that the intelligence community is simply at the leading edge of the wave. It's a wave that all of you are going to be riding along with us. 50% of the intelligence community's workforce was hired since 9/11. The unclassified number I am allowed to use is that the intelligence community is about 100,000 people. So the math is pretty simple. And it's led to all sorts of interesting challenges in our workplace. But like many of you, we went through the boom and bust, the sine curve, hiring and then declining and hiring. In our case, we peaked in fiscal 89, 90, 91. We declined by as much as 40%. In the intervening years, we were gutted, and that's a word I've been allowed to use in sworn congressional testimony. And we have been in recovery since we bottomed out. Anyone want to guess when we bottomed out? 2001. And then we have been on a hiring surge ever since, a hiring surge supplemented by our use of contractors.
Sanders says he's already been in touch with the Office of Personnel Management to chat about the use of all those contractors, especially in light of the OPM memo this past summer asking all agencies to seriously reconsider their use of contractors. Now, from here, Ron Sanders ticked off some of the major talking points from the intelligence community's workforce analysis exercise, and at the top of the list, America's status on the world stage.
We're still going to be the world's only superpower in the years 2011 through 2015. But you're going to see the emergence of regional powers, China, India, etc. So we'll still have the biggest stick, but we won't have the only stick. We will not likely be the dominant economy in the world. Now, we made these assumptions about a year ago, and we had no idea how quickly that would come true. If you watched the news this morning, you saw the president in Beijing talking to China, and you know China is our creditor. You know, I've $1 trillion in debt or something like that the Chinese own of ours. So again, we're no longer the dominant economy. We may still be the world's largest economy, but no longer dominant. So both militarily and economically.
Sanders also says look for population shifts globally to drive geopolitical instability all over the world.
Our demographers talk about an arc of instability that goes across Africa and Southwest Asia and the Middle East. And that arc of instability brought on by food shortages, water shortages, climate changes, et cetera, will also spill over into the Western Hemisphere and will bring pressures to bear on the United States, not just with its overseas obligations, but internally. Again, these are a sort of an evolution of what we see every day. We know about immigration and the challenge of immigration reform. And this arc of instability, the demographics of the world, will continue to create pressures at home and overseas. And finally, technology will change everything. we talk about two-edged technologies, where something that is that could be of the greatest benefit to mankind could also be a weapon of mass destruction. And all you have to do is look at all the ads on TV for the emerging military mission in cyberspace. That's one of the things that is on the horizon for us, and I would argue is coming soon to a theater near you.
And tomorrow morning on The Federal Drive, Dr. Ron Sanders will tell us what kinds of workers the IC will be looking for in the years to come based on that workforce analysis that we just heard about as they did their planning for their FY 2011 to 2015 budgets.
So it sounds like there's a lot of instability, particularly when it comes to world hunger and the mm-hmm. climate change and all that sort of thing. That, mm-hmm. And you know when he said 2011 to 2015, you and I are from the last century.
Sure.
You know, we're sort of holdovers from the 20th century. You hear 2011 and 2015, you think meet George Jetson, you think of like flying
right.
cars and
mm-hmm.
all that stuff. But that's like in 5 years.
Yeah, that's just a couple of short years down the
it's
road.
Right around the corner.
Yeah.
How'd that happen?
That's, well, time flies when you're having fun, I guess. You know. But interestingly enough, Amy, and I'm not giving this giving too much away by saying this, but one of the things that he also talks about a little further down the road that we'll get into in our story for the Federal Drive tomorrow is that he says more and more of the things that government is going to be expected to produce and deliver on behalf of citizens won't just come from one agency. It's going to come all kinds of things are going to be coming from multiple agencies across the federal government.
They're going to have to collaborate.
Yeah, they're going to have to collaborate. Things like healthcare. Think about the healthcare reform bill that's pending on the Hill, he says. Think about, any number of these initiatives that the intelligence community has to have. You don't just have one agency anymore and that does one size fits all and does everything. You have the CIA. You have the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. Any number of the agencies that fall under the umbrella of the IC. He says that this is one of the forces that's going to drive the kinds of people that they hire. And guess what? The ability to collaborate is going to be one of the key factors in whether someone gets hired or not.
And I think also one of the first things he said that really stuck with me, and tell me if I'm reading this right or not, Max, mm-hmm. is that it sounded almost like he was saying 9/11 was a seminal moment for the intelligence community. It mm-hmm. was really a watershed moment because it was when they had bottomed out as far as their personnel.
Right.
And then right after that, I mean, they have just grown immensely. And collaboration was key before and after that. It's just now we see how clearly collaboration could help.
Right. And one of the factors that's key in there, Amy, is the fact that a lot of the people, he says over half the people that are in the intelligence community, they have a population of about 100,000 right now, unclassified. And he says most of those people are under 25 years old. And so for that group, for that cohort, as they like to say in human capital management terms, that cohort knows how to collaborate. They know how to use Facebook. They know how to use Twitter. They know how to use A-Space.
But they also don't stay in jobs for very long.
That's right.
That same group, you know, mm-hmm. my mom and dad stayed in the same job for 20, 30 years.
That's right.
These kids aren't going to do that.
Right. They're not going to do that. And in fact, and in point of fact, they're not doing that. And Ron Sanders says, and he has also shares the same body of thought with our friend Jim McDermott over at the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. You have to create opportunities for these younger people to move around and yet still stay within an agency or at least go to like agencies where they can learn something, come back, and then they share the benefit of what they learned.